Okay. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Mi La Fo. Namo Mi La Fo. Namo Mi La Fo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sanghang Namami. Okay. Yeah, Yuan-chan, you can put it here. Yeah. Let us rejoice with the offering from Yuan-chan. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, turn to page 1 of the chanting book. Then we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majjhapamadatthana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja. Ganna sarapa dithena dipena tamang dangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambara yuthena Do pe na hang sugang hina, puja ye puja niyang tang, puja baca namo temang, vanna ganda guno pe tang, etang kesuma santatin, puja yami monindasa.Siri pada sarorohe puje mi bedang kesumena nena punena metena ceho tumokang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yata winasa bawangAdivase tunobante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatumutemang Adivase tunobante pale parikapitang anukampang upadayaPatigan hatu mutemang Adivase tunobante Bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutemang Now you will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offeringUnderstanding the significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of clear water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma.That cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May this amorality, virtue and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits.May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body.So that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born free Nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya,be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay homage to Triple Gem.Buddhang pujemi. Dhammang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi. Okay. You can be seated. Then we can prepare for meditation.Of the light. just relax yourself, body and mind, then maintain some form of attention. The key to meditation is the four support. Just relax. Relax means relax into every mind state that arises. Then relax your physical body, because the body and the mind, they must harmonize. Then try to have a stable posture where you can sit to train your mind to be in the state of sati or awareness. You can sit on the floor, you see. Otherwise, you can sit on the chair, on the couch, or lean against the wall. Whatever posture is not important. The only thing you need to understand is you need to have a balanced body and mind in perfect harmony. Means you know how to relax both body and mind. Relax means no problem, no tension, no stress. So every part of your body, no tension, no stress, nothing. Then your mind is also not giving you problem. You don't have mental issues. You don't have fear, worry, anxiety. You just let things be, relax everything and tell yourself you are here to develop the meditation. So if the mind wants to make you think or recall certain problems or issue, you tell the mind, not now. I will deal with all these mundane things after the meditation. Then your mind will be peaceful. It will not be disturbed. Then you just let things be. Means whatever thought arise, just let it arise. Don't suppress it. Don't control it. Don't resist it. That's why your mind just echoed and flow. This mind is just silent, aware. Then you will develop the meditation very well. You have to tell yourself, the untrained mind thinks a lot, is heedless. So it's of the nature for it to arise, this thinking. You just allow it to be. If you don't resist it, it will lose its power. Then this thought will slowly, slowly slow down. When you don't give it any more meaning, it will come to pass. Then like Jai Krishnamurti say, the very flowering of that thought is the very ending of that thought. All these thoughts, they are dependent originating condition arising. Based on your attachment, the clinging, the grasping, the holding on to certain things that you hold on mentally, they will create thought. And this is what thought is all about, is respond to all those memory that held on to it. That's why the Mahayana call it accumulation. When you accumulate and store in your memory, then you worry about it. You have to do something about it, attend to it and all those things. This is what attachment is all about. From accumulation, unknowingly, through your delusion, you cling, you grasp, you attach. That's why it makes you think. Due to your fear, your worry, your anxiety, or your desire and craving to resolve it, because you think it's a problem, something that you have to attend to, which is correct, but you have to understand, when you meditate, you just meditate. When you need to resolve it, then only you allow it to arise. Then reflect on it, contemplate on it, then plan what you need to do. Then do it. After that, finish off with it and move on. Do not allow it to be in suspense. Failure to make decision, failure to resolve issue will result in all the fear, worry, anxiety. Because you leave that thing hanging. So meditation is to understand all this. And all this arises because your spiritual faculties are not developed. So you need to train your spiritual faculty of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya. And this can come about through the puja, through the constant reflection on all the puja chanting that we have developed. Then through the understanding of the teaching as taught by the Buddha, especially the essential Dhamma, which are very useful. So all this, they are related to meditation. So according to Lord Buddha, when your mental hindrance are very strong because your opposite five spiritual faculties are not there or they are not stable. So when the hindrance are there, it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner calmness, inner peacefulness and inner awareness. That's why it's called mental hindrance. It hinders you from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness and inner awareness of mindfulness. So initially you will know if they are still there, the hindrance, your spiritual faculty are still not stable. Then you need to train this mind so that it's not heedless. So the best training is by using the mind sweeping method, combining with loving kindness or metta. It will help you to decondition the heedless thinking. Because mind sweeping method, you just relax body and mind, then maintain attention starting from the forehead. You just feel, no more thinking, just feel, then relax. Whatever tension, stress within, you just feel it soothingly, relax, relax and relax. Then after that you move your attention down to your eye muscle, you sweep it down. Then again you feel if any tension, any tightness or any stress within, again you relax each and every strand of eye muscle, especially your ciliary muscle. Feel it soothingly, relax. Then you move on to sweep it down to feel your facial muscle, each and every layer of your facial muscle. Feel it soothingly, relax, relax and relax. So when you feel and relax, you don't think. That is a very good way of deconditioning your heedless thinking. Then the mind will become more quiet and more peaceful on its own because it just feel relax, no resistance, nothing. Then later on, I will teach you a skillful means. We are radiating metta or loving kindness to yourself to develop the inner well-being. And this inner well-being will make you relax easier. You can radiate or recite following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, you feel your entire body and mind, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel the well-being and happiness within your entire body and mind. Especially your physical body. Feel it. When you recite, may I, this body and mind of mine, you feel the entire body and the mind. Be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel it, feel the well-being of this entire body and the mind. Then when there is well-being, you will feel good. You will feel very good. Then this well-being will make you full of joy, full of what they call happiness. This well-being is very useful where it's a type of loving kindness energy. When you can radiate this well-being to your own self, you will have inner peace leading to inner well-being. Then each and every cell within your entire physical body, they will have this positive energy field, which is the well-being effect. So when your cells are healthy, they will be happy. There is a lot of joy. So when you radiate metta, you bring forth the condition for your inner physical body, each and every cell within the physical body to have this well-being and happiness within. So the cells that has the positive energy will be very healthy, and it will boost your immune system, it will make you full of inner well-being. Then the Mind Sweeping method will allow you to be calm and peaceful. So inner peace leading to inner well-being, they are the first two byproducts of meditation. When you train your mind, you will develop them. Then the other thing that I forgot to tell you is you have to learn to radiate a radiant smile. You have to visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, there is joy, there is happiness within your mind. That's why when you look within your mirror, then visualize yourself radiating this radiant smile. When you can smile, there is joy. Naturally, you will relax. All your facial muscles, every part will relax. That's how you develop inner well-being. Then you can radiate this metta further. After radiating the inner well-being, you can now radiate metta. You can recite following what I recite. May this body and mind of mine to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Feel it. Feel that mentally and physically you are free from all suffering. May it too be free from harm and danger. May it too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it always keep itself happy and peaceful, always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then you can radiate this same loving kindness to your loved ones. May my loved ones, including my parents, my brothers and sisters, my good friends, my colleague, my neighbor, and all those who have affinity with you, be well and happy, well and happy. You can visualize them and radiate this well-being and happiness to them. Then may they too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. Then may their mind and body too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can continue with the radiation of this metta to all other beings. May all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, and all Dhamma friends and Kayanamita who are meditating here, may they too be free from all harm and danger, free from all physical and mental suffering, free from all negativity of mind states. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then we continue to extend this love and compassion, metta, towards all beings. May all beings within the whole of SS2, Petaling Jaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, then Mother Earth, then all beings within the entire galaxy, our solar system, then our galaxy, the Milky Way, then extending to all beings within the entire universal existence. May they all to be well, happy and peaceful. May their mind and body to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within the hearts. By now, you should be more calm and more peaceful. Yeah? Then you come back to your facial muscle. Yeah? You just feel and relax them all. Then after that, you sweep it down to your shoulder. Feel, relax. Then you feel your hand. Feel, relax. Then back to shoulder. Feel, relax. Then you move it down to your heart area or chest area. You just silence everything and just feel. You can detect your heartbeat or any vibration within your heart area. Just silence everything and just stay there. Be with it. But if you are new, you are not sensitive, you don't have that metta or sensitivity of mind, which is deep, to feel it's okay. Then what you can do is, like the mind supreme method, you just feel, then you relax each and every part within the heart area. Just like you relax your forehead muscle, you relax your heart or chest muscle. Feel every part of it soothingly, relax, relax, and relax. Then you move your attention down further to your stomach. Feel, relax. Then again, you move it down to your abdomen. Silence everything. Feel, relax. Then your buttock. Feel, relax. Then your leg. Feel, relax. Then you can reverse the whole mind sweeping method process. Starting with your leg, you feel relaxed. Then you move it up to your buttock. Feel relaxed. Then you move it up to your abdomen. Feel relaxed. No more thinking. Just feel and relax. Then similarly, your stomach. Feel relaxed. Your heart area. Silence everything. Feel relaxed. Then you move it up to your shoulder, feel relaxed. Hand, feel relaxed. Back to shoulder, feel relaxed. Then you sweep it up to your facial muscle. Feel and relax each and every strand of your facial muscle. Feel it soothingly, relax, relax, and relax. Then your eye muscle, then back to forehead. By now, you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then the mind sweeping method will also allow you to train your mind to be at the location you want it to be. You want it to be at the forehead, it will stay there. You want it to be at your abdomen, it will stay there. So this is a very good training. After this, because you are already more calm and more peaceful, you need to stabilize this mind that you have trained, so that this peacefulness, this awareness within, can become very stable. Yeah. So I will teach you another skillful means. The Buddha call it anapanasati, means mindfulness of the in and out breathing. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati is to develop mindfulness of the in and out breath. It's very easy if you understand. Just like you feel your forehead, now you have to feel your breathing. So maintain attention now in front of your nostril, where the in and out breath moves in and moves out. So you just relax and silence everything, then just feel. When you can feel your breathing, detect your breathing, silence everything and allow the mind to be with it. Then like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. Means the awareness that detects the breathing moves with the breath simultaneously in perfect harmony and synchrony. So every time this mind wanders off, because if you have not trained, it's not easy initially, the mind will wander off very fast before you can even keep it there. But don't worry. Be patient. Every time it wanders off, just accept it. Because the untrained mind is heedless, think a lot, wanders off very fast. So just determine through an attention or understanding. When you are aware that you are no longer attentive or aware of the breathing, that itself is attention or awareness. So the moment you are aware that you are not with the breathing, you just relax and bring the breath back. Sorry, bring the mind back to stay attentively focused in front of your nostril. So when you are attentively relaxed and just aware in front of your nostril, it will detect the breathing again. The moment it detects, just allow it to flow together. The breath and the mind move as one. This is anapanasati. Breathing in, the mind aware. Breathing out, the mind aware. If you are patient, usually within 5-10 minutes, you can develop this anapanasati. So you just have to be patiently relaxed and aware of this in and out breath. Every time it wanders off, expect it to do that many times. But just patiently bring your attention back to the breathing. Then not long, this anapanasati will develop. When you are able to follow the breathing without thought, this is called mindfulness. When there is mindfulness without thought, you become very calm, very peaceful, and you will experience a type of spiritual calmness. They call spiritual joy or piti. Piti is a type of spiritual joy or spiritual calmness or rapture, sometimes they call, that you experience when you are in that mindful state without thought. Then whatever state that arises, relax into it, allow it to stabilize. Then not long, if you relax into it, piti will transform and become sukha. Sukha is a very blissful state. Then you continue to relax, your breathing will become more and more quiet, until it becomes very subtle, like no more breathing. Then during that time, you just silent everything, don't try to do anything. Just stay silent at the subtle breathing there. If you are patient after a long period of silence, this mind on its own will fall into the meditative state of silence. They call it pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silence of mind. When the mind has entered sati and become mindful on its own, without having a conditioned state to hold it, the free mind that is in sati is the meditative mind. So I will let you train yourself to develop until this space. For those who already know how to meditate, when you reach the silent mind, you just silence everything and just let the silent mind develop the meditation. It will understand by itself. Okay, I will ring the bell after about 10 to 15 minutes. Then, for those who still want to meditate, they can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed, right, for as long as you can. And these are the trained mind states that you need to use to live your daily life. And the real meditation is daily mindfulness in the midst of life. Okay, I will just maybe explain a little bit about daily mindfulness. It's just like you train your mind to develop any skill, whether it can be a games, badminton, table tennis, or even cooking, or even riding a bicycle or what. If you train consistently, you will become very good. You will become very graceful in all of your movement and action, like badminton. You can have good control over the shuttlecock. If you want to serve high, you will serve high. If you want to serve low, you will go low. Then you can retrieve any badminton shot from any direction when you are skillful. Then you understand it baseline, you can do it. So that is the trained mind. Oh, sorry, the trained skill player. Similarly, when you train your mind, it's the same. And your mind is trained, it listens to you. You want it to be silent, peaceful, just aware, you will stay that way. You want it to relax, maintain awareness, to meditate, you will just do that. You want it to arise a thought, it will arise a thought. You want to reflect, contemplate, or use the mind for whatever use or purpose, it will listen to you. It will not wander off and become heedless. And that is the trained mind. So the mind that is trained is very beautiful. It is full of mindfulness, awareness within. It's calm, peaceful, and just aware. But relaxed state, not a conditioned state. Okay, now turn to page 6. We shall chant the Devaratana, invocation to the Devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or Devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sage, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Okay, we chant together, Pali. Samanta Chakavalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhamang Muni Rajasa Sunantu swakamokkhadang Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa ittipiso bhagava arahang sammasambuddho vijjacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhammasarati Sattha deva manusana buddho bhagavati Suakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko Ehi paseko opanaiko Pachatang veditabo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samichi patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Yadidang chatari purisa yukani Ata purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sangho Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakeneyo Anjali Karaniyo Anutarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu 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 Okay, let's pay homage to Triple Gem. Vedang Pujami Damang Pujami Sanghang Pujami Okay. We shall now continue with our Diamond Sutta, the Vajra Prajna Paramita Sutta. We are at page 137. I think we finished chapter 16. Yeah. We are now at page 137, chapter 17. Yeah. We will turn to page 1 to recite the opening verse. The verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, turn to page 137. Yeah? And we will continue. Yeah. Chapter 17. Huh? I will read to you the other version. This version, the English is better, better than the Xuan Hua one. And this one is translated by Alex Johnson. Namaste, Alex Johnson. They refer to this translation as the new translation because they use more up-to-date modern English words which are more accurate as compared to the earlier translation. So Xuan Hua's translation is not so accurate, the English version, because at that time I think those who help in the translation, their English are not so good. So I'll read to you this translation by Alex Johnson, chapter 17. At that time, the Venerable Subhati then asked the Buddha, "World Honored One, may I ask you a question again? If sons and daughters of a good family want to develop the highest, most fulfilled and awakened mind, if they wish to attain the highest perfect wisdom, what should they do to help quiet their drifting mind and master their thinking?" See, this is what I mean by you have to train your mind. The drifting mind is the heedless mind, the mind that thinks a lot, that wanders off very fast, so it drifts off. So this is the question posed by Subhati. In order to develop the highest attainment, or develop the highest, most fulfilled and awakened mind, and if they wish to realize the highest perfect wisdom, what should they do to help quiet their drifting mind? So this goes back to the essential teaching of the Buddha, and this is a very good topic, and master their thinking. So these two words are very important. They want to help quiet the drifting mind, means the thinking mind, the heedless mind. How can they do that? Then after that, not only able to make it quiet, you have to master that mind. That's why I told you just now, you have to train the mundane mind, thinking mind, until it's very quiet, peaceful, and just relax and aware within, in a natural state, not in a conditioned state. Then when you train, it listens to you. That's what mastery of mind is all about. You want it to be quiet, it's just quiet. You want it to be peaceful, it will be peaceful. You want it to arise, it will arise. That is what mastery is all about. Means you can be in any state that your mind chooses. Through your understanding, through your wisdom, the mind will serve you well. It will be a good servant to serve you. Then you can use it. Then the drifting mind, let us see how they share the understanding with you. Then the Buddha replied, "Subhati, a good son and daughter, or daughter who wants to give rise to the highest, most fulfilled and awakened mind, must create this resolve, attitude of mind." See? Your vow, your adhittana, your resolve. Your very strong determination. "I must help to liberate all beings to the shore of awakening." These are the basic vow of the Bodhisattva. Then the next is, "But after all these beings has been liberated, in truth, I know that not even a single being has been liberated." See, no monk. So this is the highest perfection, where you can do that with understanding, with wisdom. You can realize the highest perfection. That's why Hui Ling's teaching also same. Centered on the true mind. You start with the true mind without thought, not using the mundane mind, the thinking mind. Then after that, you will have to understand this mind, when you use it, it must be without mark. Then the understanding and the wholesomeness become different. Then not only without mark, you have to understand that this true mind does not dwell anywhere. So the final basis of cultivation is the mind that has no dwelling. You have to have the ability to develop that type of mind. So here, the Buddha teaches the same. So the one that talk about is, you know that not even a single being has been liberated. Why is this so? If a disciple cherished the idea of a self, a person, a living being, or a universal self, means Atman, or the true self, then that person is not an authentic disciple of the Buddha. Why? Because in fact there is no independently existing object of mind called the highest, most fulfilled and awakened mind. So all these are words. Then all of phenomena exhibit the universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self. That's why it is not what you think, because it's impermanent. The universal characteristic clearly express that everything that you come to perceive, even your physical body and mind, they are not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can hold on to, cling on to, and grasp on to, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. So this part is very important. Then we continue. What do you think, Subhati? In ancient time, when the Buddha was living with Dipankara Buddha, did he attain anything called the highest, most fulfilled and awakened mind? No, most honored one. According to what I understand from the teaching of the Buddha, there is no attaining to anything called the highest, most fulfilled and awakening mind. The Buddha said, you are correct, Subhati. In fact, there does not exist any so-called highest, most fulfilled and awakened mind that the Buddha attained or realized. Because if there has been any such thing, Dipankara Buddha would not have predicted of me, in the future you will come to be a Sammasambuddha, known as the most honored one. The prediction was made because there is, in fact, nothing to be attained. Someone would be mistaken to say that the Buddha has attained the highest, most fulfilled and awakened mind, because there is no such thing as the highest, most fulfilled and awakened mind to be attained or realized. Because when you have this, you are still holding on to a mark, anasana, the mark of Dhamma. Okay, we go on. Subhati, a comparison can be made with the idea of a large human body. What would you understand me to mean if I spoke of a large human body? I would understand that the Lord Buddha was speaking of a large human body not as an ordinary conception of a being, but as a series of words only. I will understand that the words carry merely an imaginary meaning. When the Buddha speaks of a large human body, he uses the words only as words. That's why words are concepts, they are not true. Then Subhati, it's just the same when a disciple speaks of liberating numerous or limitless sentient beings. If they have in mind any arbitrary concept of sentient being or of definite number, then they are unworthy of being called disciple of the Buddhas. Subhati, my teaching revealed that even such a thing as is called a disciple is non-existent. Furthermore, there is really nothing for a disciple to liberate. A true disciple knows that there is no such thing as a self, a person, a living being, or a universal self. A true disciple knows that all things are devoid of selfhood, devoid of any separate individuality. To make this teaching even more emphatic, the Lord Buddha continued, if a disciple were to speak as follows, I have to create a serene and beautiful Buddha field, that person is not yet truly a disciple of the Buddha. Why? What the Buddha called a serene, beautiful Buddha field is not in fact a serene, beautiful Buddha field. And that is why it is called a serene, beautiful Buddha field. Subhati, only a disciple who is wholly devoid of any concept of self, of separate selfhood, is worthy of being called a disciple. So this chapter 17 is also an extension from chapter 16. Chapter 16 already abstract enough about the noma and all the thing, but this one is even more abstract. You can understand all this when you have perfected the cultivation. Initially, just have an open mind. Don't worry, I will explain slowly. Okay, we continue. Now we go back to page 137. We look at Shen Huo's version. The sutra say, then Subhati said to the Buddha, well-honored one, if a good man or good woman resolve his mind on Anuttara Samyat Sambohi, how should he dwell? How should he subdue his mind? See, this one, the English is slightly different. That one is how to quiet down the drifting mind, the heedless mind. This one, how should he dwell? Then how should he subdue his mind? So this one he used the English word subdue. Whereas the other version is mastery over, understand? Not? Subdue has the word like put under control, understand? Not? Means subdue that very fierce animal or so that it does not become violent or fierce again. So sometimes you can subdue somebody who is very violent or what, but then you doesn't change him, understand? Not? You understand? Not? That's why that word is not correct. That's why Shenhua's word is not correct. You cannot subdue a mind, force it to be quiet, understand? Not? You should have complete mastery over it, means develop the understanding, then you have complete mastery. That's why I say that version is more accurate. Anyway, we just accept what Shen Huo has written. Where this is his translation. Then the Buddha told Subhati, a good man or a good woman who has resolved his mind on Anuttara Samyat Sambohi, means to realize Samma Sambuddhahood, should, he used the word ting tas. Actually, not ting. The other version says, have this type of resolve, very strong aditana or determination. I should take all living beings across to extinction. Yet when all living beings has been taken across to extinction, there actually is not a single living being who has been taken across to extinction. And why, Subhati? If a bodhisattva has a mark of self, a mark of others, a mark of living being, or a mark of alive, then he is not a bodhisattva. For what reason, Subhati? Subhati, actually there is no Dhamma of resolving the mind on anuttara sanyat sambohi. And now he used the word resolve. Subhati, what do you think? Well, the Tathagata was with burning lamp Buddha, means Dipankara Buddha. Was there any Dhamma of anuttara sanyat sambohi attained? No, well, not one, as I understand what the Buddha has said. While the Buddha was with Dipankara Buddha or Burning Lamp Buddha, there was no anuttara sanyat sambohi attained. Then straight away, Shenhua start the commentary. We look at what he say in the commentary. When Subhati heard the Buddha praise the inconceivable merits and virtues of the Sutta, means this Diamond Sutta, and the resulting retribution from receiving and holding it, reciting it, and speaking the sutta for others as equally inconceivable, then he asked, how can all the good men and good women who have resolved their mind on surpassed unproper and equal right enlightenment enable their mind not to dwell anywhere? How can they separate from all masks and subdue their mind? So this one is following Hui Ning, the Diamond Sutta, that say the mind must have no dwelling, means it must not dwell. That's why when it is heedless, wanders off, when the mind is heedlessly drifting away or wandering away, means it is thinking, lost in thought, dwelling on something. So how to make this thinking mind, heedless mind, stop thinking, stop becoming heedless? Then after that, how to develop mastery over it? Then we see how Xuanhua explained it. In a previous section of the text, Subhati had asked the same question of the Buddha. At that time, Subhati was actually asking how he himself could resolve his mind on anuttara sanyat sambohi. It was for self-benefit. Now he is asking how all living beings everywhere can resolve their mind on anuttara sanyat sambohi, how they can tame their mind, and where their mind should dwell. The Buddha answered that the people who have resolved their mind on the unsurpassed proper and equal right enlightenment should take all living beings across to extinction, rescue and liberate all living beings so that they can realize the Buddha way. But the Buddha further point out, after having taken them all across to extinction, a bodhisattva does not recognize any living being as having been taken across. He does not have any attachment. If a bodhisattva say, I am able to take living being across to extinction, he has a mark of self. If he say, I can take other beings across, he has a mark of others. With a self taking others across, the mark of living being arises. Once there is division into one's own enlightenment and the enlightenment of others, there is a mark of life. However, there is no one who takes being across, nor are there any being who has been taken across, nor is there any act of taking them across. One should not then be attached to such mark. If there is attachment, then not only has one not attained to the emptiness of phenomena, one has not even attained to the emptiness of people, and he is not a bodhisattva. So this is what Xuanhua's explanation is. But this does not really answer the question. The way they actually try to explain is, they try to actually accomplish what the Buddha's reply is all about. You remember what the Buddha's reply? You must resolve on what? Resolve on taking all the limitless living being across. But after you have resolved on that, and after, let's say, you have actually taken across the limitless living being, but yet your nature understands that you have not taken over a single one. There is no such thing as somebody taking them across. That's why there is no mark of a self. There is no mark of a being, living being that you have taken across. Then there is no mark of others and all those things. All this actually doesn't really help you much. Understand? No? Except telling you, that's why I say Diamond Sutta is just the sutta that tell you how you should cultivate. You should cultivate until like that. But how? They never tell you. Understand? No? So the question by Subhati is actually very clear, very precise. How do you train that mind that is heedless, drifting and wandering off, so that it will not wander off, it will not drift? Not explain. In fact, I tried everywhere. I couldn't find anybody explain about this. Then how to have mastery over that mind. Now I will go through with you, then you will understand. I may have to rub off the previous thing that is on the whiteboard. Okay. All these notes that I'm rubbing off is Nipang voice. These are the previous Tuesday class where we talk about right living or right livelihood. You rub all except Naka. Okay. You see, when it comes to training the mind, what have I shared with you all? Let us recap. Why is the mind heedless first? Why is it drifting? Because of mental hindrance. Okay, now I can write it down. Thanks. So first thing first, according to Sakyamuni Buddha's teaching, you have to understand why is the mind drifting. Why is the mind heedless or drifting? Drifting or heedless means lost in thought. Think a lot. Okay. What is the reason? Because of? Just now you just answer. Because of what? Because of the mental hindrance. Mental hindrances. That's why this one, when they arise, it will prevent your mind from entering the meditative state of heedfulness. That's why it makes you heedless. But what is the reason for the mental hindrance to arise? Why is the mental hindrance there? Didn't do one. Of course, ignorance is correct, but didn't do. Why are you ignorant? Because you lack the opposite five spiritual faculty. Okay? The mind is heedless because of the mental hindrance. Okay? Then the mental hindrance arises because hindrance arises Because you lack the opposite fire. Opposite fire, spiritual faculty. I realize most people don't understand this. I have never heard anybody talk about it this way, or any book writing about it this way. They're always interested in method and technique, because they didn't even know that mental hindrance is the cause of heedlessness. And so because of that, they want to tame the mind. They want to control the mind, suppress the mind, and fix it at one point. That's why they go into method, technique, energy field. They develop one-pointedness, concentration, and absorption. Otherwise, the mind will wander off. Not knowing that the main cause is because they don't have the opposite five spiritual faculty. I already explained it. What are these five spiritual faculty? Sadha, Virya, Sati and Samadhi. And last one is Panya, wisdom. Because you lack this five. That's why the opposite five, which are the hindrance, what are they? Sensual desire. Very good. Sensual desire. Ill will. That one is what? Sloth and torpor. Sloth and torpor means sleepiness of mind or lethargic mind. Sloth and torpor. The fourth one is what? Restlessness. Last one? Doubt. Very good. Sadhu. Restlessness of mind. Then the last one is doubt. So these five hindrances, these are the mental hindrances. So this is the set of hindrances. This is the spiritual faculty. These are the spiritual faculty. Now you look at this five. This all arise because you lack all this. And you have to relate to understand how it happened. Let's say you don't have faith. What happened to you? You don't have faith in the Buddha and his teaching. What happened to you? You will have? So this one is very obvious. Isn't it? So this fellow is the result of lack of this. When you don't have virya, what happens? You feel sleepy, correct or not? Sloth and torpor. Because you don't understand the importance of meditation. You don't understand the seriousness of not understanding this teaching. The moment you have the faith, when you understand who the Buddha is and how special his teaching is, this virya, which is spiritual zeal or a type of energy, tenacity, will drive you to cultivate where you see the great importance of his teaching and how wonderful a being he is. And because of that, when you have virya, you will not be sleepy. Sloth and torpor will not be there. Then what happens if you strive on with heedfulness through virya and develop sati? What is sati? Sati is mindfulness before the knowing. Means what? No thought. The moment you are aware, there is no thought. That's why when you are aware of your breathing, you become very calm, very peaceful. You will experience piti. Understand? And piti is not sensual desire, you know. because it's not something blissful. It's just a joy. That joy can arise. It's not a sensual desire that you chase after, you go after, etc. Because this arises because when you are able to be mindful, this is a natural state that arises. But when you cling to that peacefulness and you want to repeat it and experience it, what happens? You continue to focus and concentrate. Then it becomes sukha, blissful. And that is not an enlightenment factor. So now you understand. Yeah? So when you have sati, there is no thought. Means no thought means no sensual desire and no ill will. Because there is no thought. Now you understand. Technically, you also don't have restlessness because your mind is just aware. It cannot think. That's why there is no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no sensual desire, no ill, no positive, negative mind state. Then the mind is not restless. That's why the five hindrances, they are actually resolved even with these first three spiritual faculties. But when you stabilize that sati and develop samadhi, what happens? Your mind becomes collected and unwavering. Collected and unwavering means what? This one does not stir. Does not stir means no sensual desire, no ill will, and no restlessness, and even sloth and torpor also, no more there. Then, of course, there is no more doubt because you are in samadhi. The mind is just in the state of equanimity. Yeah. But this one is just samadhi before the wisdom come in. Understand? Before the wisdom come in, samadhi is not the real samadhi. Samadhi is just collectedness of mind, unwavering mind. That's why it's a different term. But the moment it become wise, through this sati and samadhi to see things as they are and develop this, what they call panya, then it arises the last factor of enlightenment called upekkha. I don't know, 1K or 2K, I forgot already. I think 1K. Huh? Yeah, never mind. So upekkha is samadhi with wisdom. That's why it becomes equanimous, equanimity. Means the mind does not stir, does not react, does not do anything. It's in the state of equanimity. It transcends reality because of wisdom. This one, samadhi, sometimes it can be a conditioned mind. Understand not? When you are in jhana, in concentration, in absorption, it's also unwavering. And collected. There is no thought, nothing. But it's a conditioned mind. It's not a free mind. So when you are in this state of samadhi, if it's not a free mind, it is not upekkha. But if you are in a state of samadhi with a free mind and it doesn't stir or waver, then it is upekkha. Understand? When wisdom is there, all the five mental hindrances will also cease. That's why when you have the spiritual faculty, meditation is automatic. You don't need to train technically. No need to go and do anapanasati. No need to even note anything or focus your mind. Because the moment you have the five spiritual faculty, your sati will be there. The moment you sit, you're quiet already. That instant, you are already silent. That's why in Mahayana, they have this famous saying, Yi nian qing jing. You understand? The moment you arise a thought is in stillness. That's why you can live life. You can have samadhi in the midst of life. You are not lost in thought. it will not take you along the train of thought. Proliferate. That's why you can have spacious awareness without a center. You can have specific phenomenal awareness. Your mind and the phenomena move as one. There is no dwelling, nothing. It just flow. Echoed and flow. Yeah. And all this are only possible when the spiritual faculty is there. That's why when this one become ballast or power, you can be in the state of activity in life, and yet you have this spiritual faculty because it has become unshakable. Unshakable means no matter in what state of mind you are, in any life situation, these spiritual faculties are there. Means you are always in sati. That's why you are ever mindful. Understand? Then you can have all this spiritual faculty, sati and samadhi, to see things as they are and awaken to all the universal characteristics, the essential Dhamma, and develop the wisdom. And this is what daily mindfulness is all about. If you don't have this spiritual faculty, you cannot develop that type of mind. That's why the question is, how can you tame that mind? Yeah. Actually, it's not tame. How can you train the heedless mind not to be heedless? Yeah. The drifting mind not to drift? Then how can you have mastery over it? Mastery, you have to develop wisdom. Without wisdom, there is no mastery. So when there is wisdom and the seven factors of enlightenment, yeah, this one is the seven enlightenment factor. Upeka, enlightenment factor. So panya, when it's there, the seven factors of enlightenment will arise. Enlightenment, they will arise. Will be there. When you develop this, upeka come to be. Then these seven factors of enlightenment will awaken you. When you have this seven factor enlightenment, when you have this wisdom developed, then you have complete mastery over that mind. We call it the mundane mind, understand? The thinking mind, the dependent originating mind. That's why they call it the drifting mind, the heedless mind, the mundane mind, the thinking mind. To have complete mastery, you must understand. So to train, you actually don't be gullible like all those people who do. Go and sit and sit and sit and do all those formal meditation without knowing that they are just initial skillful means to train the mind. Because they got no other way of overcoming the mental hindrance except to fix it, focus on it, concentrate on it, go into absorption so that the thought don't arise. When the thought don't arise, it cannot think. So all this also disappear. But you have not rooted out all these five hindrances. They are at bay, suppressed. That's why the Buddha say they are anusaya, latent tendency, which has not been rooted out. They has been suppressed by energy field. Now you understand. That's why those who go into energy field, when they focus and concentrate, this one got no chance to move. Understand not? When you are young, when you still have the energy to do all those jhana, all those energy field, concentration, then you are like enlightened. Understand? Then the five spiritual faculty, four of them will be there. Understand not? Four of them will be there. The last one is not there. The last one, you know how they link or not. They link it through knowledge, Dhamma knowledge, understand? By induction, thinking that that is wisdom. But when they grow old, when they lose their ability to have jhana and all those things, when they become very weak and very fragile, when they lost their ability to go into all those energy fields, their body will give them problems. Then you realize these five mental hindrance that is suppressed will come out. They will float up. Then there is doubt. There is fear. There is restlessness. Then they cannot maintain that calmness, that peacefulness, because they can't go into that energy field anymore, because the body is too weak. But when it's of wisdom, you don't need the body. Understand? Wisdom is understanding connected to the form and mind. It does not need anything. By itself, it has the understanding. It is not deceived by the phenomenal world. These five mental hindrance is rooted out because these five spiritual faculty, they have become balas, power. And it's part of their nature. Their faith in the Buddha and his teaching through their understanding and clarity. Their virya is always there. Then sati is always there. That's why sati, samadhi will give rise to wisdom. And when you have this, you become beautiful. Then technically, that's why I went through, that's why I knew, my nature knew. 24 years ago when I went through all this, then the mind starts to transform. Then I realized, my meditation is very simple. I don't have to sit like last time and trade and do all those funny things. Even if I sit, the moment I sit, I went into stillness, silent, without thought, free mind. That's why now Song also, he know. He can also sit and have that silent mind inside. No different. But no need to train anymore. Free mind means not control, understand? When Raymond say you are free, it means you can do what you like, understand? Nobody control you, understand? Means you are not in energy field. You are not in concentration or absorption or a conditioned state, understand? Your mind is free. Not hold on to anything. And this free mind can easily entangle with these five hindrances if we don't have these five spiritual faculty. Understand? Means a normal mind. That's why I ask you not to think. Or don't arise a thought. Can you do it? You cannot. You don't believe you try. But those who really have this, there is no thought. Even when I share all this Dhamma with you, inside, no movement, stillness, there is no thought. It's that very fine, supramundane mind that has got nothing inside there. No images, nothing. That's why it's very difficult to explain all this, because if you don't go through, you cannot understand. That's why I quote to you all last time, remember? Polian also used to remind me, he said, in the midst of activity, there can be stillness. Understand? When I am sharing, when I am teaching, when I am living life, it's a lot of activity. Understand? Then in the midst of the busy city life, there can be sound and other things. So in the midst of sound, there can be silence. No movement inside. Understand? The true silent mind is the non-chattering mind. Understand? That is the real silence. That's why noble silence, when they put a hand like that, it's not noble silence. That is don't talk, understand? But mentally inside, chattering, verbalizing, understand? Commenting. Also, no sound, understand? And they say, put the hand like that, don't talk in the mouth, that is noble silence. No, that is not noble silence. That is don't talk, understand? Noble silence is silence of mind. That's why in the midst of sound, in the midst of activity, there can be stillness and silence within. This one, no movement. Because this one has become very different. Over the years, after it transformed, after the mundane mind collapsed, after the wisdom stabilized, it doesn't need energy field to make it like that. It's naturally like that. That is your true nature. That is your true mind. But because you all forgot you have that, you have been living using the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the heedless mind for too long. That's why you forgot that you have another mind. And you cannot connect because you lack this five spiritual faculty. That's why the whole of the training actually is this five spiritual faculty. And how do you train them? Yeah? How do you train them? We went through before. There are many ways to train them. What did the Buddha teach? That's why he start with puja. Understand? Not? Puja means what? Devotional practice. Understand? Not? Making offering to build up merits and all those things. But you have to do it understanding. That's why he teach you how to chant. Understand? Not? Make offering mindfully. Pay respect mindfully. Chant mindfully. Then understand all of the essential salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. So that you know what they are. These are the triple gem. The purest, or they call the most precious of all the precious stones, are called the gemstone. That's why it's the triple gem. Understand? And when you chant Itti Peso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho and all those things, you understand who the Buddha is. How can you have such a being to be your teacher? He is the wisest and the most virtuous being ever to be born during his time. Then he is the teacher of man and God, endowed with perfect wisdom and virtue. A guide in comparison for the training of living being to become enlightened. Then worthy of respect, offering, and reverential salutation and all those things. So all these are the qualities. And to have such a great teacher, you should actually have a lot of respect and gratitude towards him. That's how your faith towards him will become unshakable. And this is how you reflect when you do the puja. Then when you reflect on the Dhamma, it's so beautiful. Salutation to the Dhamma. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo. Well expounded is the Dhamma by the Buddha. And what is this Dhamma? Sanditiko. Can be realized in the here and the now before you die. It can be experienced in the here and the now. Can be realized in the here and the now. Then it is akaliko. Beyond thought, beyond mind. That's why this is the real Dhamma. If it's still within the field of thought, then it is not the Dhamma. It is not akaliko. Then ehi pasiko. The characteristic of ehi pasiko means he can invite you to come and investigate. And because it's the truth, he will stand up to investigation. Then the other very important characteristics of the Dhamma is Sanditiko, akaliko, ehipasiko, opanaiko. Opanaiko means what? Leading inward into your nature. If your Dhamma lead you outward, I tell you, you better be careful. Understand? Into all the nimitta and all the fantastic meditation. You better be careful. This one is leading inward into your nature. Then, pacetang, another characteristic, can be realized only by the wise, each for themselves. If you still need to check, forget about it. Means not the real one. That's why it's very different. Then about the Sangha. They are the enlightened disciple of the Buddha, the eight pairs of beautiful beings. Where it's a great field of merits, limitless field of merits. And they are worthy of offering, give reverential salutation and hospitality and all those things. So all this is to make you understand the beauty of the teaching, who the Buddha is, so that your faith, saddha, are very strong. Then it will drive you, virya. Then when you start to cultivate, everything you do is with mindfulness. That's why your puja, you do it mindfully with understanding, you become beautiful. That's why all the bowing got meaning. The Mahayana do a lot of bowing. You realize or not? For 1 hour or so, when you at Cameron, you know what they do? You think they just tong, tong, ting, chan. Everything is done with mindfulness, especially the tang jia. You realize he hold that big, like a big stick. It's not a stick, actually, it's quite big. He always hold like that. Then he closed his eyes. Then sometimes he like that, clean his face, understand? He is doing it very mindfully. And then he got a very big bowl in front of him. Then when he hit, the vibration, then he slow it down. He is very mindful. I observe him do. He has a lot of mindfulness. And when they chant, they also develop the mindfulness. Then towards the end, what do they chant? They chant the affinity with Kuan Yin. Kuan Yin Pu Sa, Kuan Yin Pu Sa, Kuan Yin Pu Sa. Then later on, change to another version. That's why the whole of that is meditation, you know. You think they just go and ting, pong, and kok, 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 like that. No. It's meditation. They develop spiritual faculty. And because of that, they will understand. When the spiritual faculty is there, they will be in the state of samadhi. Sati and samadhi. And they will have heedfulness. That's why they can penetrate the Dhamma. When they read the sutta, they can understand. Provided people know how to do. Now you understand. Can follow. Okay. Try to understand this. Chui, sorry, just now you put out your hand. Pass the mic to Chui.
Brother Teo.
Yes.
For us to achieve, to develop the five spiritual faculties, we would have to master the mental hindrances.
No need. Right? The mental hindrance, have to be aware. Aware that they are there.
That is some kind of mastery by being aware.
No. No need to master the hindrance. In the Satipatthana, the Buddha mentioned very clearly, when the mental hindrance is there, you must be aware. That's it. That's why the Buddha said, you don't fight the mental hindrance. You don't suppress, you don't control, you don't do anything with it. You just have to understand that they are there because the opposite fire is not there. Understand? Then what must you do? Cultivate the other five. They cease by themselves. That's why he said you don't fight. You don't suppress. You don't control. You don't go and yan. Understand? Yan means what? Try not to be angry. Understand? Try not to have this sensual desire thought or lustful thought. Understand? That trying is by the thought. That is suppression, control. Understand? Not? You suppress your emotion. You don't want to be lustful, you don't want to be angry, you don't want to have the hatred and all those things. That is suppression. Understand or not? Forget about it, the Buddha said, let it arise. That's why in the Satipatthana Sutta, the first foundation, first category of practice under Dhammanupassana, the fourth foundation, what was the cultivation? Mindfulness of what? No, body is Kaya Nupassana, first foundation. Now we are talking about Dhamma Nupassana, fourth foundation. Mental hindrance. The first category is mindfulness of the mental hindrance. Then after that, mindfulness of what? Five aggregate of form and mind. Remember? Then after that, mindfulness of the five internal sense bases, six internal sense bases and the six external sense bases. Then mindfulness of the seven factors of enlightenment. Then mindfulness of the four noble truths. And the first foundation, the first category of practice of the fourth foundation, which is Dhammanupassana, which is mindfulness of the five mental hindrance. What did the Buddha say? When the mental hindrance of sensual desire is there, you have to be aware. Understand? Then when you are aware, you will come to know how the unarisen mental hindrance come to be. That if you continue to relax, silent, and just aware, don't do anything, it will cease to be. Understand not? Then because you are aware, you will come to know how the arisen mental hindrance cease to be. That if you continue to develop until the third category of practice, the six internal sense bases and the six external sense, you will be able to trace the origination factor. How the unarisen mental hindrance come to be. You remember? Let's say when you see something, you become angry. or you hear something, you become angry or unhappy, or you recall to memory, there is fear, there is phobia. These are mental hindrance. Understand not? They arisen already. How do they arise? Always through the sense door. One of the sense door. Upon contact, where you have wrong view, you will react, you will stir. That's why that anger or that fear, that mental hindrance or that sensual desire is not real. It's not you. Understand not? Anger is not you. Fear is not you. Because before it arises, you got no fear. True or not? True or not? You got no sensual desire. Then how did it arise? Dependent on contact. Understand not? Contact of the mind with the eye, or with the ear, or with the memory. Then what happened? Through wrong view, you stir, you react. That's why the duality arise. The mental hindrance arise. Like and dislike. Pleasant and unpleasant. So now you trace the origination factor. Means according to the first category of practice, when you are mindful, when you cultivate according to Satipatthana, the fourth foundation, you will come to understand how the unarisen mental hindrance come to be. Due to the wrong view. Then retrospectively reverse it by straightening your view, like I teach you all last time. Thing is just the way it is. People are just the way they are. Understand? Accept them for what they are. Means what? You don't react, don't stir. That's why you straighten your view. Not to have the wrong view, to react and to stir. Do not perceive anything with negativity. Perceive them with wholesomeness and understanding. Means understand them for what they are. They are just the way they are. Thing is just the way it is. Then learn to see things as they are. Not through your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your knowledge and all these things. Your traditional belief system and all the same, or your traditions. So all this is going to cause delusion in you, cause your mind to stir and to react. But with wisdom, with right view, you can accept them for what they are, then you are at peace. When you are at peace, what happened? You didn't do anything. Your mind go back to the natural state, isn't it? Then you realize, hey, if I have this understanding, in future when I see something, hear something, that thought, recall something, I will not stir. This mind will not stir because it understand. Thing is just the way it is. That's why wisdom free, liberate the mind. Nothing else. Ah, yes, true, yeah. Yeah. Push it out, huh?
If we practice the cultivate the five yeah. faculties until they become unshakable, yeah. and all that, you get to the
panya. Definitely. Then your meditation become very simple. Your daily mindfulness become very simple.
Yeah.
Automatic. It's there.
But when you do that, actually, yeah. you've already said that many times. Yeah. There is no need to go into the jhanic.
No need.
State.
Technically,
but
you no need to go through formal meditation.
But when you talk to monks yeah. and then you look at what the Buddha did yeah. when he went into Parinibbana, he did go into a jhanic state of some.
That is what the commentary explained. No, that's what the commentary explained. They say he went up to the eighth jhana, then come down, then go to the fourth jhana and he Parinibbana. But do you know he is in the lying down posture or not? He's not in the sitting posture. Do you realize that? And he lies towards the right. Where our heart, the gateway, is slightly towards the left.
So what is the role of jhana in all this? Is so much
no,
talk
no need
about
to ask that question. The clang talk, I already make it very clear.
Yeah, I know, but
no.
keep going on on about it.
Actually, I understand your approach. But I have to explain this again. Because the Buddha, during the 6 years before his enlightenment, he did all those jhana. Understand not? He did until he's all equal or better than the two foremost teachers that taught him, Alara and Udaka. Did he become enlightened? He didn't, and he knew this is not what he is looking for. What is he looking for when he left the palace? Huh? No, Yun Chan. Yun Chan, not happiness. He saw the fourth sign, you remember? he saw a very old man, old age, sickness, and death. Then he knew he has a problem, understand not? Because sooner or later, with all the happiness that he has, the Father has given him, there is happiness. But that is not going to be of any use. Well, finally, he has a problem. You see, I have this physical body, if it's me, it has to grow old, get sick, and one day die. And he got no answer to this. Understand? That's why with all the jhana, he knew he still will grow old, he still will get sick, he still will die. That's why he knew he hasn't realized. That's why he went off on his own. And you know how he became enlightened? He recalled when he was young during a harvesting incident. As a kid, no, he meditated. He went into just the first jhana. No? Not even into absorption. No? You know what is first jhana? First jhana is just at the threshold. Upacara samadhi. Means the five jhanic factors are all there. Vitaka, vichara, piti, sukha, and ekagata. These are the five jhanic factors. And what is vitaka? Vitaka, they translate as applied thought. Then, vitaka is sustained thought. You sustain your thought there. Understand? Means you apply, fix, concentrate. Yeah. Then you will experience piti because there is no thought. Understand? Then when piti arises, it continues to become more refined until it becomes sukha. Then ekagata. The, all the five jhanic factors are there. But it still has thought. Initial applied thought is still there. That sustained thought is there. That's why he can still contemplate with that type of mind. That's why he went into that. He knew he was young that time. He was well fed. He need food. That's why he went back to eat. To nourish the body. And the five ascetic left him. Then Sujata gave the milk rice. Then when he was better in his health, he meditated following when he was young. That's why he went into the first jhana. Then you know what he realized or not? And how he connected or not? He actually recalled his past life because he has cultivated this before. It was mentioned. He contemplated and reflected. Then he saw first life before that. What was he? Then two life, three life, 100 life, 1,000 life, 100,000, then million, billions. And through all this, he started to understand when he was born into that life, under that name, in that family. When he did all this, his next birth was this. That's why he understand dependent origination. He understand the law of karma. He understand how living beings take birth. Then later on, not his own, he saw how other beings take birth. Because he was a samasamana, he perfected all this. He can see all this. And this is for him to actually reconnect back to his spiritual nature, where he has cultivated all this. So when he was in that state, underneath the Bodhi tree that night, the nature connected back. Because it was silent in the first jhana. You can say that first jhana, but I don't call it the first jhana. Where he did anapanasati, he did mindfulness. And the mindfulness didn't go into absorption. That's why he just aware. And he can contemplate. The mind is fluid. And it was through the contemplation that he recalled and understand all this. The dependent origination, the law of karma. That's why he got all this right view established. Then he inherited the whole of the spiritual nature. Then when that one come, he became a samasambuddha. He didn't sit there, steal everything and suddenly awaken. He went through all this reflection, contemplation. That's why there is this three turning. First, you have to understand his teaching. The three stages of Dhamma, Pariyati. So when you understand his teaching, after I explain, why are you not mindful? Why are you not in a meditative state? Why are you heedless? Why is your mind keep on drifting? It's because of the mental hindrance. And why is the mental hindrance active? It's because you lack the spiritual faculty. So this is the learning of the teaching, Pariyati, the phase one of Dhamma. You have to understand this. Then the Buddha said, don't fight, don't suppress. Just let it be. Then silence your mind. The five ways to overcome mental hindrance. Remember? First one is to think of the direct opposite. Second one is to think of the consequence, so that you will arise the full right effort to deal with it. The third one is what? Just aware. Don't do anything. Then you will understand. Then the fourth way is to trace the origination factor, then retrospectively reverse it. If this four way he teach you also you cannot do, then you go for the last one. With your tongue against the palate, ngao ngao chi nga kan, determine not to cling to abandon. Because he also cannot teach you already. Because all this meditative way, also he teach you, you somehow cannot do that. It depends on yourself. That's why the last way is not emphasized. But he say you have to like teeth clench, tongue against the palate, determine through resolve to do it. Means you have to be dead serious. So after you have understood this, then you go to phase two of Dhamma, Patipatti, putting into practice of cultivation. So how you cultivate? Like I said, start with puja, understand? Develop all this understanding so that your faith is there, then the virya drive you. Then develop sati, means everything you do in life, not only puja, you must have mindfulness. Then initially, if your spiritual faculty is not developed yet, you want to train, then you go and do the skillful means, mind sweeping method to decondition your healer's thinking. Then metta to bring about inner well-being, inner peacefulness of mind. Then after that, you stabilize it through what? Through anapanasati. Then after that, maintain all this mind state that you have trained for as long as you can and carry them into the daily life. You remember? Carry them into your daily life so that this spiritual faculty can become power, balance, stable. Not only in a formal retreat or posture that you have the spiritual faculty, you must have it in a midst of life, under the free mind state. You must not be in jhana or concentration where there is a conditioned state. That one is not the real samadhi. That one is energy field. That's why that sati and samadhi is conditioned, not the real one. That's why you cannot liberate your mind. You cannot see things as they are. You cannot awaken. And this is very, very clear, but very difficult for people to understand. Yeah, it was never taught this way. That's why you realize or not, over the years after the Buddha has passed away, what happened to the teaching? Why is it nowadays we can't find much enlightened being? It like become less and less, less and less. If it's still that real, authentic teaching, there will be more and more and more of this enlightened being. Understand? Like science and technology. Once they understand, they progress. We keep on progressing, and there's a lot of very good scientists being produced. And a lot of this intelligent being, they will benefit from it. For spiritual side, the wise one, of course. Those who have the past and all things, they will understand very fast. That's why later on, when all this teaching come out, people will understand. A lot of people will benefit, but they have to straighten their view. They have to have an open mind and give it a try. But sooner or later, the truth will prevail. Because very easy to understand and find out one. I used to say what? Huh? That word. What is that word right there? Common sense. Understand or? Understand? You know what is common sense? Or? Like you hold something hot. What you do? It's burning you and tormenting you. It's common sense, isn't it? I must not hold it. This is suffering, isn't it? Because you have a physical body you can feel, that's how you know it's common sense. Human beings' problem is when they come to meditation is they don't have mindfulness in their mind. That's why they cannot be sensitive. They cannot feel like when they are feeling with the physical body. Well, the physical body can be tormented where we got nerve, understand? We got senses. At the mind level, where you are being tormented with all the fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, and depression, and yet you didn't know you are suffering. you still blame other people, you know. Then some they know it's miserable, you know, but they don't know how to, like the hot thing, just put it down, then no more suffering. You know? All your wrong thought that condition, your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. If you know that, you were just like the hot thing, put it down. No more of that thought. Like the Sabbasavak Sutta, what did the Buddha say? Thoughts that are unfit for attention, which are all the wrong thoughts, that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, selfishness, emotional negativity, the evil roots. They are unfit for attention. You don't pay attention. If you pay attention, what happens? The unarisen mental hindrance become more. The unarisen three evil roots become more. They start to arise. The arisen one proliferate and become more. That's why you cannot attend to all those things. What should you attend to? The Four Noble Truths. Right view leading to right thought and all those things. About Eightfold Path. The handful of leaf, the Four Noble Truths. That's why under Noble Eightfold Path, you must have right view. Attend to all the right view, understand all the right view. Then it will condition you to arise the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. That's why without Noble Eightfold Path, there is no meditation. There is no Dhamma. Whatever you do in the name of meditation, if it does not bring you back to the Noble Eightfold Path, it's not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. And this is very clear. So all this, you can understand. Yeah. So when it comes to Patipatti, it's very simple. Through that phase one Dhamma, Pariyatti, you understand already. You only have to, like I say, be sincere. Have faith, do, persevere. Then you will become beautiful. The spiritual faculty will arise. The mental hindrance will cease. Do it until your daily mindfulness is very stable. Then I can tell you, you will come to know. Meditation becomes easy. No need to go to retreat. Wow, under fantastic setting only you can become peaceful. Like yesterday, I think Yun Chan told me that Patio, there is another teacher, I think. Gallery, Patrick Gallery and the assistant. He said they teach them exercise, you know, that type of exercise, which is very good. He said, it must be long enough. He said, then after that, wow, can sit very well. And I said, Yun Chan didn't say that. Yun Chan just say, after that you can sit very well, very beautiful. But anyway, exercise is important, understand? Not? Beautiful. Not only stretching. You say, this physical body need exercise. Whatever exercise that benefit the physical body, it makes you alert, active, understand? Not? Like when you train yourself in badminton, actually what you are doing is anapanasati, understand? Not? But you will regulate your breathing on its own one, understand? Not? Then when you exercise also, when you exercise until you become very graceful, you realize your breathing become very different one, very well regulated one. Like no need to do anything one. Like you go jogging. You jog until at that pace where you are not tired one. Where your breathing, jogging or walking and your mind as one. You feel very light one, understand? You're not tired one. Wow, you can just walk with joy some more. And you can talk to people some more. Because that is the pace that makes you mindful, aware. That's why people like that, they see and send one. There's a commentator who sent one and talk about the Western world doing mindfulness meditation. Now they try to incorporate into exercises, understand? They go jogging, they go walking, marathon and all that. Then they say they develop attentiveness, to be attentive, to be aware of what is going on. This one will help, definitely, understand that. But why must you go and do exercise only you meditate? Understand that? Because when you are doing that, of course, it will benefit you. First, it will let you sweat, tire you out, understand that? When you are tired, what happens? You cannot think in there. You're so tired, the first thing you want to do is what? Sleep, rest. Take a good bath and rest. That's why you can sleep very well. You feel very good. because the Hitler thinking no more there, you're too tired to think. But after you wake up, when you start your daily life again the thought come back. Then you got to go and exercise again. Then when they exercise until, like they say, they can regulate their breathing, they are doing anapanasati. Understand or not? That's why there is this piti, this well-being, this joy inside there. Then they say they train until long enough, they develop the passion to jog and to walk. That's how all this can help. Then because you are most of the time attentively monitoring, means you have to be attentive of where you jog, where you walk, where you run, the traffic and everything, then you exercise some form of attentiveness, not really mindfulness. Where it's not specific phenomena aware. But this is better than heedless thinking. Understand or not? That's why you become less heedless. You become more aware. Not to say mindful. Understand or not? You become more attentive, conscious. All this will help you. Understand? But you don't depend on this. Understand or not? And I don't want you all to fall into like they call what? Without exercise you become what? Lethargic. Your body becomes lethargic, you know. Like you lack exercise. You know when you study, if you don't exercise, your brain not much energy, oxygen or no. You cannot study well, one, I tell you. I realize because I play badminton, I study very well. Well, my mind very fresh after I play badminton, I go and take a bath. Then there is clarity inside there. Where oxygen went in, you know. The breathing, the pranya, everything. Then we call the anapanasati also. That's why I can concentrate on. I study maths, physics. I can look at the problem. The mind won't become sleepy on. Don't wonder of and all those things. Then I can solve that mathematical problem very easily. Correct, because that the oxygen is nourished here. Then your organ all start to function, understand not? Then you are most of the time anapanasati, aware. Because the breathing and the thing regulate by itself. That's why you have this peacefulness of mind, calmness of mind. You feel very good. All this help. But you don't have to do all this. Then only to make your mind a little bit more peaceful. After that, well, you didn't root out the problem. The hindrance will come back again. When you go back to your work, the pressure will come back again. The stress will come back again. Then the sixth sense is so fast. You cannot cope. Understand? Correct. Yun Chan. Correct. The exercise is to stretch and all those things. I understand its benefit. That's why I also teach you. But you want longer hour for what? Understand not? We are not there to do gymnastic or acrobatic. Understand not? Half an hour of stretching is good enough because mind is mindfulness and muscle and some form of stretching. That is very good because that will activate the blood flow. Then regulate your mindfulness breathing. That's why I did that mindfulness. Aware, just the movement. And that's not silent. Then I stress the long breathing. I purposely breathe for you all know. Actually, I don't need to breathe. Really. I just like that. Only, but I had to breathe for you all know. Otherwise, you all wouldn't know. Understand? We're starting is long breath. Understand? Then only your body and mind can move as one. So a lot of this thing, you don't say, it brought you breathe very loud or no. We also must breathe. Then say it over. You never ask me. Understand? You just think that by following what I do, you can become me. Can or not? By following how the Buddha walked without shoe, you can become Buddha or not? Cannot. It's not what he do. It's his understanding. It's his wisdom, his virtue, his perfection. Actually, without wisdom, the virtue and perfection are also not there. Because of wisdom, the virtue and perfection will be there. Oh, 10:30 already. Oh, you. Really 10:30, yeah. Okay, now we end first, So we didn't really move, Oh, at least we do 2 pages, Not bad. 37. 38. Oh, Chui, you finish your question, good. Thank you. No, very good. That's why tonight's discussion, I felt is very good. And all these, like I tell you all last time, you remember? the Diamond Sutta is very profound. But no, little or no teaching on, understand not? It only tell you how to meditate, understand not? How to reach that perfect state. You must meditate with no mark. Then you must develop all this type of understanding, the mind that has no dwelling and all those things. Then the famous poem, Yi qie yu wei fa, ru meng huan tao ying, yi lu yi lu dian, ying zuo ru si guan. Yun zhan liao wo qiu a. Hey, you learn Diamond Sutta, we have gone through many times, you know, this one. This is the famous poem of Diamond Sutta, you know. He said, Yi qie yu wei fa, you understand that? Yi qie is everything. Everything is dependent originating, condition arising phenomena. You wei fa means condition arising. Understand? Yeah? Then the next one is Ru Meng. What is Meng? Everything, the phenomenal world is just like a dream. Ru Meng. Huan is what? Illusion. Pao, bubble. Ying, shadow. So all of phenomenal world is an illusion. It's like a dream. We are the Buddha say our mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chi. When mind arises, everything comes to be. So you can never deny that you have gone through life, isn't it? Since birth until now, isn't it? Are they real? You can only recall through consciousness. Understand? No? That's why I like the famous song. You can only recall the past through memory. So what is memory? It's like a dream, understand? When you dream, it's also memory, respond to memory, the subconscious release. That's why it's like a dream, Ru Meng. Huan is an illusion, like the Buddha said. All of consciousness is like an illusion, understand? You know what is an illusion or not? A magician is an illusionist. Create illusion for you. Create magic for you. Look real, but not real. That's why everything is like an illusion. Like a dream state. Then, pow. Pow. Bubble. Bubble is what? Feeling, the analogy is like a bubble. Pop, gone. Pop, gone. Understand? So how real is life? The only reality is the present moment, understand? The past is already gone, future yet to come. Both are not a reality. The present moment is the only reality. Then how real is the present reality? Split second is the end gone. True or not? True or not? That's why it's like a bubble, understand? This moment I talk is gone. Next moment I talk is gone. And how real can the moment be? That's why, like a bubble. Then, like a shadow. What is a shadow? The thing that always follow you. Understand? Not? That refer to karma. Understand? Not? Understand? Not? You reap what you sow. So, that one is very beautiful. Then, the third stanza is even more beautiful. Ru Lu. Lu is dew, like dew. How long does the dew last? Sunrise, the dew is gone. So the phenomenal world is like this dew, appear real. When the sunlight arises, it's gone. Condition no more, finished. Yi lu tian, you know, like a lightning flash. How fast is a lightning flash? When you are mindful, you understand this. The Buddha said within 1 second, billions of consciousness pass through your mind. Everything is so fast. Your sixth sense door is so fast. Arise and pass away. The content of consciousness that went in, and how you stir, how you react, and how simultaneously like you multitask. All this without mindfulness you cannot see. But when you have that, you will understand why the poem is so beautiful. It's like a dew, a lightning flash. Then, ying zuo ru si guan, you should contemplate it thus. until it becomes very, very clear. Then you no longer deluded. You are no longer cling or hold. Because after that, you have the mindfulness with the wisdom. It's better than your physical body touching hot thing. Understand? When you have the mindfulness, you know what happened or not. Because I went through this 34 years ago. You will meditate until your mind is so sensitive. Finally, I reached a point because I went out to the private sector to test. Then the nature tell me, you want to suffer? Go and work. Go and think. Go and read. Go and use your mind. Because it was so sensitive, the moment of arising of consciousness, just to be conscious, that movement itself is suffering. So fine inside, I felt it. Then the moment of extension, the moment of sense experience, the moment at the seeing consciousness or hearing consciousness, even to be at the moment of feeling itself, just to be aware of the feeling is suffering. Then to be aware of the movement of thought, sankhara, is suffering. That's why every arising is suffering. That very fine suffering, you feel it inside there. Even to arise a conscious mind, to be conscious of something is suffering. Even to perceive something is suffering, that fine suffering. When you are at that level, you cannot think. You cannot do anything. Then the nature know. Think also like that, don't think also like that. You want to suffer? Think. You want to suffer and become miserable? Whole, cling, wraps. Then this one, all of a sudden when the mind realizes itself with this wisdom and understanding, it suddenly becomes not only still and silent. It ceases. That's how you realize Nibbana. The mind that realizes ceases. Because no more delusion, no more ignorance. Everything is just like that. Dependent originating, condition arising, impermanent, leading to suffering, empty, non-self, no reality. That's why it can have that type of wisdom. Then only cessation is possible. Then only Nibbana is possible. Otherwise, impossible. Now you understand? Okay, we better end. 10:40 already. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we do the sharing of merits. We start by sharing it with the devas. Akasata ca bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana itta watta camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo ibmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones. Today one, if somebody can transcribe, it's very good. I tell you. Yeah, today one very clear.